Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you one and all for spending some time with us, wherever you are, whenever you are. You can be listening anywhere, anytime. My guest tonight is my lovely co-host, Lisa Campion, and we're going to be talking about how sensitive people can deal with these crazy, tumultuous times. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing, which is kind of in line with our topic, because I had an interesting thing go on early in the week. Years ago, I ran into somebody who told me about something that appears to be depression, but is really a nutritional problem. So there is a genetic test, and how I found the right people and all of that is a whole other adventure, but there's a genetic test which tests the 5-MTHFR gene, and if there are actually two genes, and if one or both of them are broken, your body doesn't create a particular folate compound, and if you don't take a supplement for that folate, you feel depressed. Interesting, huh? People are walking around with what appears to be depression and getting treated for depression as a nutritional deficiency. So how cool is that? I figured it out. I figured out the dosage that I needed of this particular folate compound, and I take the stuff, and that goes away. Except I blew it on getting my refill because it's a supplement. It's not a prescription, which is a very good thing. You have to pay attention. They don't remind you, and I blew it by a couple of days, and so I didn't take my folate that I would have been taking for a couple of days. And I started getting angry. And I was walking around the house just randomly cursing at things. And, you know, I live alone and there are no kids around, and it was kind of funny. And I just got into it. I would just curse at things. But, you know, I was sitting there going, so what is this? Maybe it's the folate, but maybe not. And the other thing that was going on was I was really tired. Early in the afternoon, I would lose it, and my usual, the stuff I would take and the tricks I would do, coffee and other things, just weren't quite doing it. Went to sleep early, slept 11 hours, got up the next day, it happened again. Like, okay, maybe something else is going on. So I got on Facebook on a group that discusses this kind of stuff. And I said, is anybody else angry and tired? I mean, seriously, this is really weird. And I got 40 or 50 responses of people that basically were feeling the same way. Yeah, I'm just exhausted. I've been sleeping a lot. I can't keep my eyes open. I'm unfocused. Angry at everybody. But, you know, everybody had a story. So the next thing I figured could be the cause was solar activity. And I had not initially thought that, because in the past, if it was solar wind, my body would hurt. My body wasn't hurting. But I'm taking other stuff that's keeping inflammation from making my joints hurt. Okay, let's see. So I went to another source online that I used to find out about that kind of stuff. And her blog said, oh yes, there's a huge sunspot, which is facing towards the Earth, causing a very powerful solar wind. At the moment, it's not destructive and it's not causing geomagnetic storms, but it's causing all kinds of other effects. And oh, by the way, there were six earthquakes yesterday. So I just sat there and went, oh, okay. So once again, I was reminded how powerful our connection to solar activity, lunar activity, the all kinds of things really is, and how much and how directly it can affect how your body feels and how your emotions present themselves. So my folate supplement came. I started taking that again. It's been a few days, and the solar activity has shifted, and life is good. But in the meantime, while it was going on, if you don't think this way, if you don't think maybe there's another factor affecting me, you just come up with dealing with, why am I angry? And am I getting sick because I'm so tired? And that wouldn't work. That just wouldn't work, because that's not the source of the things. And you could do all kinds of things for anger and depression and being tired, and it wouldn't change the thing. So there's always more to it, and it's often not where you look the first time. So that's today's convoluted metaphysical musing. And let's have some fascinating conversation with Lisa Campion. Thanks so much for being on the show again, Lisa.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. And when I asked you what you wanted to talk about, because you usually have topics in mind, you came up with this wonderful, very important topic for the moment. How do people who are sensitive and empaths deal with the effects of the tumultuous time, the craziness in the world, all the stuff that we're seeing in politics, all the stuff that's in the media? How do you deal with it?
I don't know, but I mean, it's probably take us a whole hour to even crack the surface on that subject, but I can tell you that I have a flood of clients calling me, people coming to my office, requesting emergency sessions. Really, since the election results came in, and then sort of another real big, strong burst of it around the inauguration.
Right.
It is really complicated, because it's sort of like there's a cosmic storm out there, and I'm having this sort of funny experience myself of having like my personal life get better and better while the world's kind of, I know, right? I don't know how I manage that. But not everybody is in that spot. So I've had a lot of like people in spiritual crises, like, people seem like they're crossing over and dying a lot right now. I don't know. Everything's just kind of up in the air. And what is a sensitive person to do when we live in interesting times?
Right. So I know you work with students who are just coming into their understanding of their sensitivity and what they can do and how everything affects them. What do you tell them?
Well, I actually tell them a lot like what you said. So, I think there's kind of a diagnostic protocol we can go through, or that we need to first figure out, is it us? Is it something going wrong in my system, or am I just being affected by the environment, people around me, energetic storm, solar flares? I think people are sensitive to different things. So I kind of go through a little system check, like, is it me or is it the world? And I used to always think it was me,
We're raised to blame ourselves for everything.
Yeah. I'd be like, what's...
You're angry, you're annoying to be around, whatever it is, it's your behavioral problem and you should just stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I'm like, oh, I must be crazy. I'm like, I'm so sensitive. What's the matter with me? Like, I would go that way. And now I've really learned to pay attention to that. And I do something similar to what you do, which I have my sources that I check. And I really have found a lot of comfort in astrology. To sort of check on, what's the ambient temperature of the, the environment, and kind of see what's going on. And I have this funny diagnostic that I do. It's like, I read the headlines, I look at the astrology, I do some of the psychic storm warning things, you know, and I can kind of from there piece together whether it's something that's wrong in my internal system or whether it's the world. And I find it very validating and comforting in a way if I'm like, oh, it's not me. It's, you know, if it's me, I know what to do. I can take care of myself. But if it's the world, there's sort of another protocol you have to do to take care of yourself.
Right. Yeah. And it's like the basic question that all empaths need to train themselves to ask anytime an emotion comes flowing through their body, which is this mine?
Right.
So, you know, for me with the anger, you know, for a while it was amusing. I was like, oh, where's this coming from? It's kind of fun cursing and everything. But after I got bored with it, it was like, well, what's this? Is this mine? Is this from, you know, started going down that. It's not, unless it's the same kinds of things constantly, you don't necessarily have a checklist, but you kind of listen to what questions you should be asking.
I find like too, like there can be a lot of benefit in sort of minding our boundaries. So when we do sensitivity work, it's always about the boundary, sort of finding like where the weak link in your armor is. And for me, I can get very overloaded and overwhelmed by the news. And even Facebook, you know, news sources, I've stopped listening to the news a long time ago, over 10 years ago. And I kind of just glance at headlines. I don't really dig too deep into news because my boundary gets really weak there and I can't filter. I get very freaked out or very upset. And I know that some people get very energized and kind of, you know, people with a little more warrior energy in them will get very energized and feel called to action and, you know, deal with change, deal with like what we're going through in the world right now by being called to action. And that's a beautiful thing. Thank God there are people out there doing that, right? But there, if you're more sensitive and you're more empathic, that might not be something you can do all the time. And
right.
Taking like a break from the news, I have to go sometimes through like, I think of them as like, like media detox, where I don't take in, or I'm very, very, very selective about the information that I take into my system when I know I'm feeling kind of already sensitive and fragile, right?
Right. Well, I tell people not to watch TV news ever at all, because the presentation of it is designed to make you emotional.
Yeah.
The colors, the way things move on the screen, the way they talk, even the sentence structure. Sure, is all designed to get you emotional. And part of the reason for that is if you're emotional, the commercials work better because it is TV and it is about selling things. But all of it will get your emotions heightened. That's one of the reasons that all the news programs use red in their graphics, is to have the emotional effect. So never, never, never watch the news. And then there are sources of news which are more factual and still really reporting or giving opinion based on the people actually having some knowledge about the subject. And I get most of that either on radio or online, you know, as podcasts or as live streams. But again, I don't listen to things like CNN News. I listen to BBC, BBC World Service, or NPR, or Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, which most people don't know. She's got a PhD in political science. She can really look at the news and parse it out. Tom Hartman is another person who has an incredible academic background, in addition to all the work that he's been doing for decades. And they're people that can look at the news and explain it to you in a way that makes sense instead of just going, this is crazy and you should be upset. Like, well, I should understand it. I don't know whether I should be upset. So there are sources for the people that want it. And for people that don't, you know, if you're just going for the political point of view that it is going to reinforce what you already believe, you may not find anything that's particularly factual or won't hype you up. But there are sources out there that are factual. And reading it really in many ways is the best. If you can find a news feed online that feels easy to read and just go through not just the headlines, but the headlines and the two or three paragraph kind of thing. You can stay informed without anybody yelling at you about how you should feel.
Right, exactly. And I find too that a lot of times empaths get scolded for dropping out of the new, well, you need to be informed, you know, you need, and I just really think that people have different ways of handling. People have different gifts, you know. So if you have more of that warrior personality, your gift is going to be about making change and protesting and, you know, calling your senator, like, you know, like going into action. And somebody who's super sensitive and empathic might not have the same kind of mission or might be helping in a different way. Like, you know, we're going to listen to people. We're going to be healers. We're going to be, you know, and I'm not saying there isn't a crossover, because of course there is a huge crossover here, but I've seen many, many empaths get very scolded. Like it's somehow irresponsible to not know what's going on. I mean, I think you have to understand the empath is sort of getting the energetic hit of what's going on, in such a powerful way, even if they're not reading the headlines.
Right. And that makes it harder to understand what that hit is. You know, introverts get that all the time anyway. Mm. Why don't you socialize more? Why aren't you this, that, or the other thing? And so empaths are typically introverts and going through life as introverts. And people can be very unkind. They want you to be how they want you to be, which is, I guess, the definition of codependence. You know, you have to be a certain way in order for me to feel good. And it's like, feel good or don't feel good. This is who I am and what I'm doing.
Right.
Want to hang out? I'm a cool guy. But don't tell me how to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a problem, you know, kind of, you know. So I think what to do when you're in a turbulent time is just really begin to gauge for yourself what, you know, everybody's going to have a different need, where maybe a lot of media stimulation is very empowering, or it's overwhelming and horrifying, and maybe some of, you know, day by day. So I think feeling like you're in control of, you know, if you need to step back from Facebook for a couple of days or whatever you're doing, to sort of minimize the stimulation, about it. And I also think for me, like I find a lot of comfort in, kind of, you know, carrying on with my normal daily rituals and disciplines, eating right, exercising, meditating. You know, when we go under stress, we tend to drop our foundational rituals, our self-care rituals. Right. And we lean more into sugar, caffeine, alcohol. And that can be comforting in the moment, but it throws off your energy field, weakens your energy field. So when we are under stress, we need even more our grounding practices, our spiritual practice, our food, eating food that's nourishing and supportive to us, and whatever our normal sort of self-care routine is. And I don't know about your, can I ask you just a funny question, like psychic to psychic here? Okay. So
sure.
Normally when I'm able to sort of feel the future, see the future, you know, I can kind of look out into the future for, you know, a while and sort of predict it, kind of like we predict the weather, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I look into the future now and I can't see anything. It's like trying to look into a blizzard or trying to look into a tornado, and I'll see something kind of flash by, an image flash by, and then if I look the next day, it's completely different. And yeah, what, is that happening? Is that happening to you?
What was it that Yoda said? Obscure the future, the dark side does.
Yeah. Is that you having the same experience?
Well, you know that my work frequently is dealing with that dark side and dealing with it in some very direct ways. And there's some really crazy stuff going on.
Yeah.
And people are, you know, you look at the things that are being said, the decisions that are being made, the buffoonery that Trump does, and there's no way to process it. It really doesn't make sense. And it really is scary. And we don't know where it's going, and that's the hardest part of it. And part of that is the intention behind what they're doing. They want to shake everything up, destroy all the old structures, and I'm not sure exactly what the agenda is. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be any fun. But I can think of at least 4 or 5 disastrous directions they could drag us in pretty easily. But I also know that things don't go the way that, you know, just because they're trying to do this stuff doesn't mean it's going to happen the way they're trying to do it.
Right.
It's so early in the process that, you know, the, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what's going to happen thing really, yeah, it's not helpful.
Yeah, and I mean I think there's some of the underlying discomfort that people feel is that we've lived in a pretty predictable world, you know, right. Like we all pretty much know what's going to happen every day, you know, for the most part we have our lives and stability and things, and the whole world, it's not just our country, but actually feels to me like the entire world is now in this, like, we're not sure that it's going to go the way it was in the past. And, you know, maybe there's some good things about, you know, breaking the pattern. And I see Trump as like, has this destroyer energy. So he's going to, people think of him as a builder. He's like the creator destroyer. So yes, he builds things, but he's really coming in here with a big sledgehammer to destroy on both sides of the aisle. I think it's going to go that way, but and that there's some larger archetype he's holding, you know, that of that, and that it's never very comfortable to be in the energy of destruction. It's never, right. You know, we don't like that. It's hard, and I think our universe kind of moves through this like creation, maintenance, destruction, creation, maintenance, destruction cycle, and we're in a destruction cycle, and it's never fun to be part of that.
I think I need to introduce Herr Trump to my friend colleague.
Yeah, exactly.
The destroyer.
Yes.
Get him straight. But in any case, we're going to need to go to the break in a couple of minutes, and I want to make sure people know how to find you. What's your website?
It's easy. It's lisacampion.com. So come on by and say hi.
And you've got all kinds of, besides the personal work that you do with people, you've got workshops and materials and all kinds of things on the website.
Yeah, online classes, psychic development classes, you know, empathy trainings. I have some really, really good ones on my website now that are very affordable. I have some 8-week empathy training and psychic development classes that are e-classes that are pretty cool. Those are available now, and definitely drop by my radio show on Empower Radio, The Miracle of Healing.
Yes. Very
good stuff going on over there too.
Which is on when?
Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time.
Excellent. Yeah. So We will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My guest tonight is the wonderful Lisa Campion. Always fun to have her on again. And this is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. And don't go nowhere, because we're going to have so much more fun. We'll be right back.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Nonstop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul, calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself so you can save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Chris, can you put the video game controller down for a second?
I can talk and play. Oh, I'm totally annihilating this punk kid in Nebraska.
I just feel like you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
Well, you know, you still ride your skateboard to work, there's the comic book collection, the race car bed.
Look, I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I picked up a few savings tips at feedthepig.org. I have control over my financial life now, and that feels pretty grown up.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. For free ideas and easy tips on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. So, I bet I look like a grown-up to you now.
Well, except for the footy pajamas, I'd have to agree.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown. Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Positive radio for a better life. Thank you for listening to Empower Radio.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest Lisa Campion, who's my sometimes co-host. And we're talking about how sensitive, empathic people can survive these crazy times. So it's really fascinating because everybody is getting ramped up, not just the empaths, but it's orders of magnitude higher for people that are sensitive.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I don't know, like, I think, you know, we have to stick with our grounding. We have to, you know, really like continue to work on shielding ourselves. And I choose to have, I know it sounds crazy in this day and age, but I really choose to have faith. And mm-hmm. somehow believe that things are going to be okay. And if I find if I stay in the energy of faith and I stay in the energy of curiosity, like, gee, what's going to happen next? Curiosity keeps me engaged, or it keeps me out of like the doom and gloom and, oh my God, what if, and it's going to be horrible. And, you know, right. and I just find it's a more comfortable place to be. That's just for me.
There's that wonderful line in the movie Marigold Hotel. It's a longer title. And he says, it will all be fine in the end. If it's not fine, it's not the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, we have to stay in that place of, we don't understand this and it's crazy right now, but things have been crazy before and somehow, you know, we get through it. It's,
And I, you know, I'm a huge Pats fan. The Pats are playing in the Super Bowl this week, and I'm like all excited, right? Okay. And you know, what keeps coming back to my mind is sort of the Bill Belichickism of do your job, you know. And it's a big thing here in New England. Everybody's got T-shirts and say do your job. You know, it's what Bill Belichick says to the Pats. And I do think there's some for me comfort too. And I know that if I do my job, which is helping people, teaching, you know, doing healing work, that I am choosing to align myself with the light, you know, with the Jedi Knights, you know, and that that's all I can do. I can just do the hold the light and do my job in the moment, without, I find a lot of comfort in that without getting too like cranked up into anxiety, because anxiety, empaths are very prone to anxiety, and all sensitive people are, and anxiety is always a what if. It's not what's happening in the moment. So fear is like a biological response to actual danger that's happening in the moment. And we need fear because fear is a very good adaptive strategy. We wouldn't have made it too far without that. But anxiety is like, you're projecting into the future. What if something bad is about to happen? And it's very hard on our nervous systems. We get all cranked up in that fight or flight response, and sort of constant adrenal firing, and you know, it's not productive and it's miserable. It's such a horrible feeling. So like a kind of mindfulness practice, you know, so do your job is like my New England mindfulness mantra.
Right. And we should tell people that are not from New England that the Pats are the New England Patriots.
Everybody knows that.
Not everybody is listening from New England.
Well, that's true.
yeah, the one that I use all the time is this too shall pass. You know, I am angry isn't even the word. I'm, it's so bizarre to me that what's happening now are the kinds of things that my father dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not happening in Europe. They're happening here. What does that mean? That's just beyond crazy. But every time it happens, it passes. We get through it. And in the middle of it, it's crazy and demanding, and people are required to do things that they don't believe that they can do. And somehow we get to the other side of it. There's a wonderful quote from Gandhi that says, you know, throughout history, all the tyrants in the world throughout history, not one of them has ever succeeded. They succeed for a while and then they pass away.
That's good to remember.
You know, it's miserable while it's going on, but They're not going to be here forever. They never are. Doesn't work that way.
And what about predictions? Do you have any predictions about what's going to happen next?
Well, you know, it's going to be crazier before it gets better. You know, every prophecy that I've heard and every tradition has said that there will be this time of total chaos before the world shifts from darkness to a profound period of light and cooperation and joy that we don't even understand can exist. But the chaos in the middle of it, the more chaos there is, the more it shows how big the transition will be. And there have also been predictions that the United States would contract economically and politically and all kinds of other ways before it revives itself. And we're watching it happen. And it's not fun.
No.
I think the transition will be intense, but I don't think it will be long. It's already scary, but it's going to get scarier in all likelihood. But we know what's on the other side. We know, you know, the predictions of what is coming are pretty powerful. You know, and depending on who you talk to, everybody has their version of the story of this transition time. And, you know, one of them is the apocalypse. And the word apocalypse is Greek for "it shall be revealed." And part of what's happening right now is all of the dark, creepy, awful stuff that has always existed but has been in the shadows is now happening up front and center. And, you know, for the people that knew it was always there, it's not particularly shocking other than how blatant it is. But for the people who never knew it was there, it's mind-boggling. And, you know, if you thought the apocalypse was going to be horsemen and, you know, no, that's not how the drama is going to be. The drama is that all of the bad, creepy stuff in the world is in our face. And it's already happening. Mm-hmm. So, you got to be careful of what story you focus on and, you know, what mythology you want to go with, because you can really make yourself crazy with some of the stories. But, you know, it's like so many other things, either in your personal life or in historical dramas. You just have to be present and do what there is to do and get through it. You know, when I look at what it means to be a shaman, one of the things is being, in the same way that doctors and nurses and other people that do medical stuff have to be able to deal with smells and pain and seeing blood and seeing all of that, for a shaman, it's getting used to weirdness. It's getting used to looking at things that would make everybody else turn and run for the hills with their hair on fire. And to be able to stand in that moment with all the chaos and all the frightening stuff and ask Spirit, what would you have me do now?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get the answer and it's like, really? I can do that? Is it going to kill me? You know, it's me? You're talking to me? But it's really about that standing in the chaos and asking what next and doing what you're what comes up to do next, what your guidance tells you.
I really like that. And for empaths, I really believe that all empaths are meant to be helpers, healers, and caretakers. That's sort of the fundamental reason why we have the gifts of empathy. So I would say, you know, this is, there are a lot of people who have, and I know I'm in this category myself, who have chosen to incarnate on this planet at this time and to be at the peak of their power during this time, so that, like, this is the game we came to play, you know? Right. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to sit on the bench. I'm like, you know, I want to play in the game. And I know what I will do, like what I'm required to do or called to do, because it's what will happen. You know, it's, I talk to my guides. I'm like, just put me where I'm supposed to be. Right. And I'll do my job, you know, and that I find a lot of comfort in helping people in being of assistance and offering healing and listening and helping people cope with that. I know that's why I came here. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't mean to say like bring it, but I'm not going to, you know, because I wish it, we had something, you know, more fun to do, but because it is what is happening, I'm not going to turn away. I'm just going to show up and do the best I can, because that's what you do, right?
Right. Well, when I was younger, I did all kinds of first aid stuff and then got on a rescue squad and eventually became an EMT and did it in different places with different organizations for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. And later, when I started doing the kind of stuff I do now, I realized that that was part of my training, to be on call all the time and to be ready to be thrown into situations that could be really scary, when I'm tired, when I don't want to do it. But you learn that you do it. You learn to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning when the phone rings and go and do it anyway. And not have any idea what you're driving up to when you're in the rig and you're going to the scene, and not having any idea how it's going to turn out. You just do it.
Right.
And that was a big part when things shifted from the purely physical into the more spiritual. That was a big part of what my training had been, besides understanding the human body, which comes from all of that background training. So it's interesting how it all fits together and how people from totally different backgrounds who do high stress jobs where they have to respond in the moment to whatever the situation is, in many ways are preparing themselves for this.
Right. I think so. I think that, you know, there's just a huge amount of people that came down to incarnate now here for this, you know, to sort of be a part of this. And I do think that it is evolving in the moments, like, you know, that nothing's really set in stone. That things are the accumulation or the, you know, the result of choices that we're all making in the moment. So if we're all making the best choices we can, if we're all choosing the light, if we're all, you know, sort of really living in our life purpose, whatever mm-hmm. that is, and that's kind of like the do your job, you know, thing, then we will meet whatever's coming head on and do our best with it.
Right.
Sometimes I really go to fear and I feel, you know, quite fearful. And I do know, but mostly I feel like, you know, like, all right, we're going to do what we need to do. But I do, the other thing about empaths that's being an empath that's challenging at this time is that empaths are very tuned into the suffering of the world. So, you know, they're just energetically connected to the oneness, you know, like we are all one. And I do have a theory that people who are empaths are a little bit more, empathy is a result of spiritual maturity, you know? So as our mm-hmm. souls mature, they become more empathic, more tuned into like, I'm just a part of a bigger whole and we're all connected. That's a very primary piece of what empathy is. So I couldn't hurt you because I'm going to feel it, you know? And hurting you is like hurting me, you know? So, so because of that, when there's a lot of pain and suffering in the world in general, which there is right now, it's even more difficult. And it's like this, you know, the disturbance in the force or like very powerful, energetic wave of suffering that kind of circles the planet occasionally, you know, when something happens. And and empaths are so susceptible to those things, you know. So anytime there's like a big, you know, an earthquake or the tsunami or, you know, 9/11 or any of these big things that happen, there can just be like a super strong that can really impact people who are sensitive. And right now what's happening is like that kind of level of reverberation is going around the planet like kind of constantly, you know?
Right. And another level to this is that people who have a history of abuse or PTSD from some other event that happened to them feel this dramatically more, whether they're theoretically empathic or not, because their fight or flight mechanism is already distorted. It's already on high. And so everything becomes a much bigger deal in ways that they, unless they're working with it, or even if they are sometimes, that they can't even understand. They don't know why they're so overwhelmed. They don't know why their anxiety is so high. And abuse is extraordinarily pervasive in not just our society, but the world. So there are a lot of people that have that that amped up sense of impending disaster.
Yeah, I mean, and I think with empath, just like sort of building on what you said there, that empaths have a stronger reaction to the energies they haven't cleared in themselves. So if you if you have like a lot of unresolved grief, then if you're feeling that in the environment or the world or people near you, it's going to ring your bell harder than something else. So if we're super thrown off our balance by a particular energy, we really need to look and see, well, have I cleared that? You know, I can't hold that energy inside myself, so I can't tolerate it in other people.
Right. Right.
And the more you kind of clean up that stuff on the inside, you can have kind of a general empathy for people, but you don't get like really knocked off your center if somebody around you is feeling something that you can't even manage in yourself.
Right. Right. What's the Chinese curse? May you live in interesting times.
Yes. And here's another one that goes with that. So if you take the Chinese character of crisis, it is danger and opportunity.
Right.
Those two together. And I also think that's another part of what's going on now. So when we go into a deconstruction cycle, there's always opportunities for people that are quick, that are looking around, you know, whenever there's change, there's also opportunity.
Right.
And that's where my curiosity gets piqued. Like, what are we going to have the opportunity to do? And I have this, I don't know, I can't tell if it's a psychic hit or a fantasy, to be honest, but I have this desire that that some of what we're going to encounter in the next few years sort of puts us on a more like back to the earth kind of path, you know, like maybe we all decide to go a little more green, or we stop kind of crazy consumption of things, and we get knocked off the consumerism that we've been living in and into more of a like a grounded, holistic, back to the earth kind of moment. And I've been having like a strong desire to find a like an off the grid kind of house to live in. Mm-hmm. You know, that seems like a really good idea right about now. the world would be kind of a cool place if more people made that choice.
Right. Although romanticizing it, we forget how difficult frontier living really was.
You know,
living on a farm with no amenities is a lot of work.
Yeah, I don't really want to do that, but I do think we can make healthier choices that aren't quite as, you know, we can't really continue to live at the same rate of consumption that we've been doing without consuming all of the world's resources. So I don't know. That's kind of what I mean by opportunities. Like, there might be an opportunity there that is actually interesting. And for people that are very, you know, thinking that way, there will be all kinds of opportunities available as things change. So I think about that.
Yep. Well, it's going to be an interesting time to live and interesting to see how all this unfolds. And no doubt difficult in many, many ways. And we will all get stronger because we're going to be challenged.
Right.
So that's where you find out that, as the old saying goes, what you're made of.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Those are kind of the things that I focus on, you know. There was an interesting article in the news that I happened to catch about the Dalai Lama, and it was sort of like he had like 5 tips of, you know, how to survive in interesting times. And I think that, you know, I thought about that when we were talking and incorporated a lot of them. You know, he's just do your job, have faith, do your spiritual practice, be kind to people. Right. Stay in curiosity.
And the truth is, that's just a way of life. You know, it's more important in difficult times, but it's what we have to do all the time, no matter what's going on.
Right.
It's just we get soft and lazy.
Yeah, we kind of live in the illusion that things are going to continue to be stable, or that they are stable in the first place.
Right.
And this energy that we're in now, with really the upsetting of the apple cart in such a profound way, like, knocks us out of that illusion.
And one of the illusions is time, and we're running out of it. So thank you so much for being on the show. We have such good conversations. My guest and co-host tonight is Lisa Campion. And what's your website?
My website is lisacampion.com. Come on by and say hi.
Everybody should do that. There's great stuff there. And what time is your show?
My show, The Miracle of Healing, right here on Power Radio, is Tuesdays at 2 Eastern time.
Fantastic. I'm so excited you're doing that. So, again, thank you so much for being with us again tonight. As usual, if anybody out there is wondering, who is this guy David and what in the world does he do? You can find out at househealing.com. There are all kinds of technologies for getting in touch with me, including a link to schedule a 20-minute free phone conversation to look at a person, place, situation, business, whatever it happens to be, and assess whether my work might be helpful to you. If you want more information or the archive for this show, you can find it hiding cleverly enough at thefarkasfiles.com. And you can find all of the archive there. You can listen from there. But the easiest way to listen is the Empower Radio app. And you can get that from your app store and listen 24/7. Access any of the shows, and Power Radio has programming 24/7, all kinds of inspirational programming. So check it out. We're also on all the streaming media outlets: TuneIn, iTunes, podcasts, Stitcher. I know I missed one, but anyway, just look up Farkas Files or Empower Radio, and you can access us lots of different ways, which is a wonderful thing. Because you can listen anytime at your convenience, wherever you are. So thanks so much for hanging out with me. You know, one of the things about doing this is I'm just sitting here by myself in my little office, and the studio is somewhere else, and Lisa is somewhere else, but you are wherever you are, and you're spending some of your valuable time with us, and I really appreciate that. It makes it all worthwhile. So until next week, thank you one and all. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. Truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.